Hi guys, I hope you had a good day so far. If you haven't, I'm not going to make it any better, but God will. So Maria asked me to share something about, is there more? So the topic I was put is living with more, M-O-R-E. But I want to take you to some basic thing that is in the Bible, because sometimes as Christian or new Christian, we hear a lot of that concept but don't really dig deep into it. So Moses prayed in Exodus 33. He asked God, teach me your ways that I may know you. Teach me your ways that I may know you. Because God is eternal and invisible, it's very hard to work out what God looks like, what he is like. But his ways is how he speaks to us, finite human being. So can you put up the first slide? Joshua, I'm going to jump through these slides rather than use all the slides. So let's pray. So Father, we want to know your ways, Lord. As we know your ways, we will know you better. As we know you, we will love you more. And when we love you, we just trust you more. And we trust you, we know you will bless us to be a blessing so that we can bless others. So we come to you to know your ways, know your words. Would you enlighten and anoint our hearts with fresh revelation so that we know you intimately. Not just know about you, but know you. In your ways, in your words, in your will. We pray this in your Jesus, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first slide, please. All right, skip. Okay. Quickly explain eternity to the person sitting next to you. Or don't have to answer three, all right? Just choose one and just say, oh, I know that. All right, and then just explain to your neighbor next to you. If you don't have a neighbor, just pretend you have one, like Marie. Yeah. All right? One, two. All right, Neil already know everything. So, Neil? All right. Okay. All right, eternity. What is eternity? Anyone? Just shout the answer out. A long way, away, away. Okay, that's one. Anyone? Anything else? No beginning, no end. All right. Okay, anything else?
Incomprehensible.
Yeah, I accept that. No beginning, no end. Now, the long, long way, how far away? Oh, wait. Anyone else?
Luck with Jesus. Entering into
Ooh. There's a theologian in our midst. All right. This is my illustration, all right? I don't know whether it's true or not, but have a think about it. Eternity, all right? Eternity is timeless. Yeah? So that's why we say it's everlasting, no beginning, no end. All right? So eternity also is infinite. That's why we can't figure it out, all right? Because our mind is finite. So I like to look at this. On Earth, we have the time tunnel. Time tunnel of your life or the Earth itself. So in the beginning, God, and then something happened. So when we say you can't be in two places at one time, it's because time moves on and we don't stand still. That's why we can't be in two places at one time. But in eternity, you can be in two places at one time. So we are seated with God on the right-hand side of God. But I'm here talking to you. All right? So if you think about it, time tunnel, your life, the earth life, there's beginning, there's end, and you're just moving on. And you're normally stuck with one space, one time. But the time keep moving on. But eternity is everything around that time tunnel. And God lives in eternity. He's not trapped in the earth. But when you come down as Jesus Christ in the body, he can't become that. So therefore, everlasting life, as Simon pointed out, is a life with God. Because only in the Bible anyway, the way the Bible explained eternity, that's where God dwells, in eternity. Why must we be born again? All right, anyone? Yes, Evangelist Neil.
At conception, God gave us a spirit, making our way home to be born again.
Okay. All right. Let's go through some scripture. Next one, please. Okay. So, living with more. There's a craving in our heart that we are discontent with what we have right here, right now. So there's always a yearning for more. And part of that yearning, when I was a young Christian, if some of you remember the four spiritual law, there's always this, you know, when I try to evangelize, they say, oh, don't you have a vacuum in the heart? You know, it's God's shape, nothing can fill it. And that's from this Bible verse, because Solomon was very smart. He did everything that was possible humanly. He tried this, tried that, enjoyed 700 wives, 300 concubines. Men, how many wives you want? All right? So that's just the pleasure. He was smart. He got lots of money. So he tried everything. Then he deduced God has made everything appropriate in his time. So there's a season and time on earth. He has set eternity in their heart. This is where the controversy, the paradox is. Human always long for something more that the earthly things can't supply. But we're always grasping. That's why Solomon says, chasing after wind, chasing after wind. Meaningless. You can't catch the wind. Everything is meaningless. But he deduced at the end, he said, you know what? There is a God. If you want to live for more, just obey God. Do what he wants. But that's the contrast of a human finite heart and eternity, which we can't define. It's long, long, long away. That's why we long for something, isn't it? It's constantly like, you know. So that's the setting of humankind, because we are created in God's image. And that's why God put there and say, you will not really find rest for your soul until you rest in me. Next one. All right. This is very important, again, when you share the gospel, is there something more? So for Asian, Indian, Buddhist, you know, there's always this reincarnation, the rebirth, as in life cycle continue. But here, it's very clear, the Bible says, no, you only have one earthly life, that's it. After that, there's consequence of your choices. There's consequence of your choices. So many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. People who died and buried will rise again. But what will you rise again to? To an everlasting life? And then they say, some people. So it's like two choices. Both are everlasting. One is everlasting life. Then the other is to disgrace, shame. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes, I mean, earthly life, when we feel shame, guilt, you know, it's yucky. We condemn ourselves. What about you go for eternal, everlasting condemnation, contentment? So those are the choices the Bible set. This is the Old Testament. It's like it's setting like, okay, eternity is in man's heart, and then man will only have one life on earth, no reincarnation, no rebirth. So the Buddhists, the Taoists believe you can go on somehow and have a second chance. But God said, no, only one chance, one choice. Next one, please. All right. So, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. So some of you have been Christian a long time, but it's good to look at it. What is born of water? What is born of the Spirit? Why can't we enter the kingdom of God if we are not born of the Spirit and water? Because the kingdom of God, again, belongs to God. It is an eternal kingdom. It is definitely on earth, but it's not made up of earthly stuff. That's why what is of flesh is of flesh. So we are born of flesh. All right? So there's a living soul in us. That's the one that will arise in Daniel 12. But God is saying, no, no, no. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born of the Spirit. So that's something we need to clarify when we share the gospel. It's like, no, 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 all your good works is no good. You need the spiritual DNA to be born again. Born from above. Born of water, you know, some people say, oh, you know, that's when our natural birth and all that. But if you look closely, the water more reflects the Word of God. It's the Word of God washed by the Word of God. Then you can understand what's really happened, and then you can say, yep, I want to be born of the Spirit, born again. All right, next one, please. So I'm just going through some scripture. So living with more. I used to like acronym, so I've gone back to it. So mighty God, obedience, righteousness, eternal life. Now this is more than what the earthly stuff can give you. I somehow hook in the Chinese modern drama from modern drama in China because I'm mixing with Chinese. I want their mindset. They talk a lot about money and status, and they like to slap people. So you have a look. They slap a lot. So if you don't have money, status, you are devalued. Is that right, Tommy Ma? Isn't it? No money, no talk in China. And that status and all that, that's very important. But with mighty God and obedience and righteousness, eternal life, you will have more. More than what the earth can give you. More than what your heart longs for. Because God satisfied that eternity in your heart. All right, next one, please. All right. We're coming to Christmas. Isaiah is a prophet, and he prophesied long before Jesus turned up. If you look at that, that's the full gospel. That's the full gospel is. For a child will be born to us. And Jesus was born to us in Bethlehem. A son will be given, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, he sent his begotten son. A child was born, and a son is given. And the government will rest on his shoulder. When Jesus came, even before Jesus came, John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Who does the kingdom of God belongs to? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Jesus said, I die, I rose again, I ascend, and I'm going to send you a Parakletos, someone just like me to be your counselor. Mighty God. That's why I encompass with the Chinese, I say it's the Emperor God. You know, it's no deities or whatever. It is up there. If you're in Chinese, you understand the dynasty. Emperor God means he's the King of Kings. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Marie reminded me, this is Trinity. This is talking about Jesus, but his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. How can he be Eternal Father when he's a son? But he's a Prince of Peace, because the Trinity is all there. It's been prophesied. So if you want to live with more, have the Mighty God with you, the Emperor God. Next one, please. So I'm just redefining things that you already know, just to go a bit deeper and just to remind you. If you already know, I apologize. It's too simple. But if you don't know, take notes of it. So living in obedience is basically God have given everything to us, but we need to respond. So if I give this to Chris, I know he will just take it. Yeah. But if I give it to Zenny, he's looking at that and not taking it, means she's going to miss out. So faith, without faith, is impossible to please God. For he comes to God, he who comes to God must believe, that's faith, and that he is, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So that's Hebrews 11:6. And Hebrews 11:8 is what I want you to focus on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. He obeyed by taking an action. Obedience, obey in Hebrew, is not just, there's actually no one word for obey. Obey is actually listen and follow. So the assumption is, if you listen to the call of God, you will respond. So that's what the father of faith gives us the example, that he go to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. So in your eternal life, you have inheritance on earth, but you need to respond to it. The inheritance might be something God wants you to do. The inheritance might be the promises that God wants to pass to you. But you need to obey, you need to respond. That's how you're going to live with more. Next one, please. All right, so we got mighty God, obedience, righteousness. Again, righteousness is a word that we throw about. What is righteousness? Anyone shout out. What is righteousness, Chris?
We can't earn that righteousness. It's by faith we receive it.
That's good. Yeah, we can't earn it. Anyway, Isaiah again say our righteousness is like filthy rag. So it's not up to God's standard. Righteousness is just right standing with God. Right standing, right kind of alignment, right relationship with God. When you are in right relationship with God, generally you will fall in the right relationship with others. If you get it right vertically, horizontal will be right too. That's the right angle of the relationship with God and others. So righteousness is important. Righteousness is something we seek. But like Christy, we can't earn it, but God can give it to us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled and satisfied. Only God's righteousness is enough to overcome our transgression and sin. For if by the transgression of one that reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Just reflect on the last line. So you want to live with more, God say, I want you to be on top and not the under the circumstance. As I reign, you can reign in my righteousness. How many of you feel like you're on top of the world, above your circumstances? Are you struggling a bit? You know, we use the word because it's a picture word, under the circumstances. Are you under or above? So I mentioned about Colossians, where Paul says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You know, we should look up to the things above. So that's living in eternity. Do you feel you are living with that kind of righteousness? Or are you still trying to earn it? Do you believe in what Christ has done? Is it sufficient that he took our debt, our sin, and all that, and then exchange it with his righteousness? Next one, please. All right, I put this up there because I was hoping that more Chinese came, but Tom and Tom came, the two Tom. All right. So, Tom, you know this verse? Yeah, which Tom are you looking at? You can answer if you want. Which question? All right, I'll answer it. Then you don't. Thanks for offering. You don't have to answer it. I was just asking rhetoric question. It's okay. It's okay. You just don't have to answer it. It's just the way I talk, all right, to get involved. All right. So, for those who do not understand, not do understand, so John 3 is a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Marie brought up Mark 10, and Jesus had a conversation with the rich ruler. And with the rich ruler, he sort of asked the question, how can I inherit the eternal life? And then with Nicodemus, he kind of like, you know, you got something here that I, as a religious man, a Pharisee, I know the scripture and all that, the Talmud and all that, the Torah, but I don't have the kind of life you have. And so it's in this conversation that Jesus said, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus say, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. I can't go back to my mommy's womb. All right? But you have the born of the Spirit. So Jesus then say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. The word perish, again, is loaded. It's like, okay, what's going to happen if I die? Is there an afterlife? Is there a second chance? Or I'll just perish forever? So those who believe will have eternal life, but God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. So there's language that is like, okay, now I need to be saved. Why do I need to be saved? Saved from what? So again, if you understand the Bible, the Christian is, we are already on the way to be perished. We are heading to a perishing destination. You know, I read out Daniel 12, you know, that when you died, you rose again. You got two choices, everlasting or everlasting condemnation. So it's a awakening kind of message to the world, to your friends, to your family, to say, hey, this might be what's happening. You know, it's a really scary thought. My mom passed away when I was 13, and I I became a Christian when I was 16, so I had a conversation with God. I say, it's really not fair because my mom is illiterate. I don't think anyone have, in my mind anyway, have shared the gospel. That's really not fair, isn't it, God? I mean, will I see my mom, you know? Will I see my mom when eternity life ends? I mean, eternity lives begin and earthly lives stop kind of thing. All I had, God, is saying, do you believe me that I'm a righteous and just God? So, bottom line is, it's a mystery. I don't know what will happen. But for us who hear the gospel, we have a chance to believe. And then for us who knows the gospel, we have a chance to tell someone, hey, by the way, do you know you have a choice of where you want to go after you die? But eternity starts now. So we don't have to wait for heaven to enjoy eternal life. Next one, please. Let's pray. Okay, I have to pray now. Father God, I pray that just make more clear, Lord, what we're talking about and how to hear you.
Explain the difference between natural and supernatural.
Yeah, sure. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Next one. All right, something have changed. That's all right. My Microsoft been switched off, so the slides kind of thing. Ozzy asks, what's the natural and supernatural? All right. So in terms of born again, is the understanding this is natural. Supernatural means God is part of, and what is not of the flesh sometimes is supernatural. But again, you know, that is sort of, yeah. I wouldn't explain too much of that, but Ozzy, we can have a conversation or you can talk about that. Is there any more slide? This is slide 16. All right, okay. All right, that's fine, switch off now. So our slide just jump over. All right, I'm trying to remember a slide. Okay, John 17:3. John 17:3. So John 17 is a prayer, the last prayer before Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, Jesus then didn't have a chance to explain things to the disciple. So John 17 was his so-called priestly prayer. In John 17:1, it talks to God, you know, say, hey, God, I think I've done all you want me to do. You know, would you glorify me? Because I bring you glory. And then he say, I'm the one that you have given me authority over all flesh, that I'm the one that can give eternal life. And then he say, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life. So Jesus' definition of eternal life is so that you will know the Almighty God and the one he sent, which is Jesus Christ. So eternal life is simply knowing God. But that knowing is being one with God. You know, the closest thing of being one with someone else is the so-called sexual intercourse. You know, it's that kind of knowing, that intimacy of two becoming one. It is that knowing. And Jesus say in John 14:6, I am the way to the Father. I'm the truth about the Father. He didn't say that, I paraphrase. All right, I'm the life with the Father. It's all about getting us with the Father and the Holy Spirit together. May I ask Ozzy why you want to ask about the natural, supernatural? Am I missing something?
It's a way of explaining what you're talking about, condensing it, because God is supernatural. We're natural. We get born and we die on this earth. What we can touch, that's the natural. And God, who created everything, is above it. And we... be able to contact God, we need to be a new creature, new creation. That's why it says get born again, because you get turned into someone that can then have access to God. He can communicate with us and we can understand, because we get his indwelling spirit in us, so that we can be on the same wavelength. We can't understand everything he knows, obviously, but he can then talk into our spirit.
So introducing the word supernatural is another word. So I was trying to say what's born of the spirit is spirit. So it's spiritual and natural. So I'm actually supernatural. I'm naturally supernatural. That's what Vineyard teach, because the spirit dwells in me. So I'm naturally supernatural. So, but I understand what you're trying to bring out. Thanks for that. I'm going to conclude. So just a reminder of what I was trying to bring out, living with more. There's always a sense of discontent. Most normal people anyway, I believe, have a sense of healthy discontentment, because you're kind of yearning for more. And sometimes we seek for the more in something else, status, money, you know, what the earth so-called bring. And God, you know, Solomon say in Ecclesiastes, no, the only way you can have fill that vacuum, that eternity, is by eternal God to give you that eternal life. You know, and I brought up Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So that's Jesus Christ had come in full package to give us that eternal life, because he's the mighty God. He's a God with us. So the supernatural, the spiritual, the eternal God invading the earthly realm so that we can have relationship with the eternal God. But we need to obey, we need to believe, we need to have faith. And all it's about righteousness, relationship. You know, if you relate rightly. And Romans 14:17 talks about the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. Again, it's not about the natural stuff. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is spiritual. But the spiritual nourishes so that we are satisfied. Wherever God put us, we're satisfied, we have more than enough, we are not lacking, we don't have one, because God gives us enough. And eternal life, if it boils down to, is your opportunity to have the everlasting relationship with God, you know? And Ozzy point out, how much do we know God? It will take eternity. And that's why God say, because I created you in my image and I put that eternity in your heart, I will give you a chance. Will you have an everlasting relationship with me? So God don't send people to hell. God do not make people perish. Sin already set the way for us to perish. And that's why Jesus come and say, I come not to condemn, to give you opportunity, not to perish, but believe in me so that you can have eternal life. Thank you. And then we'll pray.
Can I invite you to stand as we sing? Lord, we thank you that for the reminder that in you, all of us can have a hope that we can hold on to with great joy and confidence now, because we know that our forever starts now with you and goes on. So we bless you, Lord.